Hi, and welcome to Webcams TV. I'm your host, Corey Fowler. Joining me today, Yohai Kiriati.
Kiriati. Yes. Hard to swallow.
I'll get it right eventually. But Yohai is, you're a PM lead.
Yeah, like, PM.
Super, super big guy.
Not really.
Over the websites team. And you're coming on the show today to talk to you about a really awesome feature in Azure Websites, which is the support portal.
Right.
And this is stuff that, I mean, some people know about. It's probably like the next best secret from the SEM site itself.
Indeed.
But it does help diagnosing and debugging your sites quite a lot. So, brought you on the show to talk about this. So do you want to give us a quick background on what the support portal is all about?
Yes, sure. So basically, this will be kind of a short overview because we'll have a reference for a more detailed session that you have done with AJ, who is like the owner of this, but he was traveling, so I took over. You actually go all the details into all the examples and all the various details of the support portal and so forth. So with respect to the support portal, the ideas that we are trying to do is we're trying to basically enable developers to self-serve. If where everybody are great developers and we got Git and Kudu and you can deploy and you can do a whole bunch of stuff really cool with Azure websites, but then sometimes bad things do happen to good websites. And what next? Yeah. And because we are running as a platform, you can't really RDP or remote into the VM or any of the VMs, and therefore, we will have to provide some other means to allow you to do some stuff. So with that in mind, we were actually thinking of we'll show the support portal. We come up with the support portal, and as you mentioned, it's part of the Kudu services. So if we let's take a look.
And now for our feature presentation.
So this is the portal. And the portal has all my sites that browse to a specific site that we already have prepared in advance for this demo. And it's the Freb demo site. And if you browse to the site, you'll basically end up in Fortin Coffee, which is what we usually show and do. Yeah, that's the whatever. It's the default.
It's the default demo.
I'm not using the new MVC, but it's still the default. One thing I want to show basically is you can scroll when you get away of this essentials. I'm doing the essentials because we go through everything, all settings, and all settings we have something called extensions. Yeah. And the extensions are basically part of the Kudu site, right? You mentioned the best secret. So if you go to extensions, you'll be able to see all the extensions that are installed through the Kudu portal for this site. Mm-hmm. So I just installed the support, and you can basically browse, open a new tab, and we'll actually go into the support, which is here. Better. So this is the support portal itself, mm-hmm. And it runs, if you look here, right here, I can zoom in a little bit. It runs as part of the SEM endpoint, which is Kudu, and it's just the support.
Yep.
And what that gives us basically is this portal. And this portal is not just for this giving site. Basically, if you click over here, you'll be able to see all your subscription.
So one of the things with the SEM site, which is relatively new, I mean, I think it's actually a few months old now, but you now authenticate using OAuth. So.
Right.
Because we have the ability to look at your subscription, it will actually pull in all of the different subscriptions that you have available under your live ID, so you can go and browse through this from any site that you own or is part of your subscription.
Right, so if I try to log in in private browsing for incognito mode in Chrome, for example, it will ask me basically to log in.
Yep.
What credentials? And as you mentioned, OAuth, so we get all the subscription information. And with that in mind, I have several subscriptions that I co-admin on and so have access to, so I can actually see all of them here.
Yeah.
So for each site, you're pretty much going to get the same thing. For once, you're going to get Observe. Observe is what we call is your ability basically to look at the live traffic of the site. So you can see here the site where we were playing with the site a little bit. So I can go here and refresh the site. Or basically go ahead and look in one of the orders, and this will generate traffic. And if you go to And if you go to the support portal, what you see is there is a little refresh time here, but it's in near real time. So it'll take a couple of like 10 to 20 seconds, and you're actually going to can see stuff showing up. And you'll be able to see blue lines, which are representing HTTP requests, like 200s. And the red will represent anything else, like 400s and 500s and so forth. So this will be analyzed. And you can also look at the host name. You can figure out if you want everything, you want the SCM, and so forth. Cool. The more interesting aspect with the support is the analyze. And if you look at the analyze, there's a lot of stuff that you can actually look here in terms of diagnostics, event viewer, site mix, webs, ClearDB, access to the ClearDB, which is MySQL, and so forth. I'm not going to go through everything here because we'll, again, post the links to the specific MVA that you guys have done to have very lot of details. What I do want to show is just briefly what you can do here, right? So we can run some diagnostics. And in terms of diagnostics, you are able to choose what type of diagnostic you want to run on that. So for example, we can run a diagnostic for event logs, right? And your HTTP logs and memory dumps, as we have in this example.
Now, in order to do all this, I mean, going in actually turning on HTTP logging and failed request tracing and all that kind of stuff, you have to do that from your configure tab in the portal.
Correct.
But once you have those things configured, you can come in here, and this is going to do deeper analysis over those logs.
Right. Yeah. So you can go to the portal, and let's get rid of this and go to diagnostic logs, as you mentioned. And if you go to the diagnostic logs, basically what you just said, you need to enable web server logging, which are the HTTPS logs. Detail error, which are the FRAB, and fail request is the FRAB, and detail error is just the detail error of .NET.
Yep.
By enabling all these two on, basically we will collect them and we can use them. So I can actually show you if you go here. So this is the Kudu portal, right? The SCM, the main Kudu portal. If you go to the debug console and you go to your log files, for example, you can look for, like, here's a detail error. So you'll see all the detail error page that we have. So we will take them and we will analyze them if needed with respect to the traffic that comes and show you some statistics and errors and so forth. And if you look to any like particular machine, because you can have, I'm running on two VMs right now, so these are the IDs of those VMs as we can see it. And here is the like the specific FRAB. And you can see there are some FRAB from earlier this morning that I ran some samples on those. And you can, over here, you can basically go ahead and, you know, we can look at those FRABs, for example, edit. And it's just a very big XML with a bunch of information that basically outline all the pipeline that you have in IIS. However, I don't really know how to read this. Therefore, what we have done is if you look at the support portal, for example, let's save this for the next X demo. Saved, okay. If you look at the FRAB logs tab, you're actually going to see the FRABs that we have here, and we had them. And if I click on the FRAB, you'll see that the bottom part of the screen adapts and changes, and then I can have like the analysis of the FRAB itself. So now this XML has a specific parser, and we can show it, and you can actually see some more information about the request. So there were no delays in the request, but this request took like 15 seconds. Yeah. Therefore, we want to see what happens, so we go to the details of the request, and now we can look at the details, all the pipeline information. We can look at the performance view. You can sort, and you can see the data and so forth. So this is just a, you know, a quick example of what you can do with the portal.
Yep.
So the support portal also give you like site metrics, which will give you a more detailed analysis of CPU, memory, and HTTP for your site. Unlike the portal, where whether you have two VMs or three or more than one VM, you'll see only one aggregates across. This actually has different tabs in which you can see specifics per instance. So this is a per instance view. And if you hit the diagnose button, you'll get to diagnose just that instance. And if you hit the restart W3WP, you'll restart only a single instance, basically. So that's a little bit.
I mean, this is helpful because if you do notice that you're getting some sort of issues with a single instance of your site, something may have failed on that machine in particular, going and restarting for that particular role is a lot better than having your whole site go down because you're restarting all your W3, WP processes all at once.
Right. Yeah. And you can combine bools. I mean, this is, again, this is really just an overview, but you can take AutoHeal, for example, which is a way for us to configure rules on the site that will, a certain condition will do stuff.
Yeah, actually, if you wanted to pull that up, if you go to, it's super long, Microsoft Azure websites cheatsheet.info. Oh, yeah. I actually have a sample on there on how you can set up AutoHeal. But we could
look at, I think if we go to the site here, WWBrute, we'll look and take a quick look at the web config because we already have this configured on this one.
Oh, perfect.
So this is the tracing for enabling the FRAB. And again, the details can be viewed at the second video that we'll put as a link. But these are like monitoring and triggers, and this is where the auto rules or the AutoHeal rules come into play. So we added a new section to the web config, and you can see that we can figure out specific conditions. For example, status code. If we get 404, too many of them, like 5 within a 30 seconds interval, then we'll do something, and that something is basically the action we can take, which is will be recycle in this case. We can do some more, like in this example. We have here if the memory is going above 500K mm-hmm. private bytes for the site, and the site is usually around 100, give or take. So if we induce a bug, which we'll can see in a second, mm-hmm. Of consuming a lot of memory, we identify that, and we will basically, what we will do is we'll run the console, DAS console, which will basically force and analyze. So it will generate a memory dump and take all the information that we have and create an analysis report for us, and then it will recycle.
Cool.
Which is kind of cool. And if you look at the output will be something like this. You go to diagnose, you see here several examples. This is one existing one, so you can see the dump file, the memories. You can look at the specific report, and again, those reports are formatted to a certain degree. You can see the errors. You can see like, hey, the GC heap was huge. Mm-hmm. And you can basically scroll down and get some more information, like the event, the handlers, all the objects. You can see which, you can basically scroll all the way down thing, and you can be able to find like, hey, which object was using what memory and so forth. So very, very powerful tool, very easy way to, well, at least start diagnosing mm-hmm. and self-serve in terms of, hey, what the heck is going on, instead of just restarting like everything all the time, you can restart a specific VMs or identify or define some rules to help you.
The thing that I like about it is definitely getting these nice reports, because it's like, you know, you could go and grab the XML files, and there are a couple tools out there that will parse them and make really nice design graphics and all that kind of stuff. But it's nice to have everything sitting right in one portal. So I'm already logged into my site. I can just go directly from here, look at exactly what's going on with my website. And I think that's really the powerful piece here is we had all the log files and everything there before, but there was a lot of extra work that you need to do in correct. Order to get through and read them. But now we've surfaced it in a nice, easy way to consume.
Yep.
So it gets the time to debug a lot quicker, because you're not downloading and looking for tools and need some experts that actually can go through and use those tools. So we provide everything out here for you, and it's a simple click of a button. Like it's just that easy.
Right, and we'll add more and more parser for this experience. We'll add more PHP. I mean, there are PHP, but I haven't shown them, but we'll add more. We'll add Java and Node are coming next. We'll improve the .NET support as well and so forth. So we are trying to constantly improve that experience to allow user to, hey, this is a, you know, I can't RDP, but I still can do a bunch of stuff on the machine regardless.
Yeah. Yeah, and the cool thing too is if you click on the ClearDB tab, I think do we have a database in there?
We don't have a database in this demo, but we can show a different one. Let's go to this subscription and find a PHP demo.
So one of the reasons that I point out the ClearDB is I had a friend of mine 2 years ago at Christmas time that reached out over Twitter and said, hey, my site's down, I'm not too sure what's going on. And the reason for that was he was using the Mercury ClearDB package, which gives you 20 megabytes of actual database space. And his blog content just so happened to be at 27 megabytes, so he was well over his quota. So the ability to update or do inserts into the tables just disappeared because they didn't want to, you know, continue to expand that quota. So in the ClearDB section there, you can actually go in and see what your current size on disk is, what package you're actually running, so you can get more information around, you know, is this Mercury or Saturn or Jupiter, yep. Lots of different planets, and how many concurrent connections that you can get out of that, and how many connections are currently going. Right. So
you, if when you start running some real, you know, real workload or real stress against the site, you'll see like specific connections or which are open connection right now, and you know, you'll see the slow entries if you have specific queries that are slow or whatever. You'll see a lot of information on the ClearDB, and it's great because ClearDB is basically a third party, and we took the time to integrate with them because they were a third party. They're like, hey, where do we go to support? How do we do and stuff? So this will be a good place to start, at least to figure out what's wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, if you just want to scroll up just a little bit. So one of the things that you see here is we do this a lot at Microsoft, is we're like, hey, look at how awesome these tools are. But then when customers go in and look at the experience right off the bat, they don't have the same experience than what we show.
Right.
So the secret sauce to get all of this stuff, I mean, it's available. However, to get all of the different options, you have to be in a standard sized instance, or you at least have to be on your own VM. So it needs to be basic or standard.
So depend what you're looking at.
Yeah.
But if you don't have ClearDB in your account, so you're not going to see ClearDB tab,
yep.
If you don't have a database. Everything else you'll see, but to a certain degree, if you go to the site metrics, you're not going to be able to. You're not going to be able to see all of the different tabs, for example. Mm-hmm. You're still going to have the diagnosed and restart W3WP. Even on a shared environment, you'll be able to have that. There are more features that we are bringing in that will show for the basic and standard, but will not show for shared user, like recycle the entire VM and stuff like that.
Okay.
But most of the stuff, like some part of the site metrics, the event viewers, and the basic diagnostics, you will be able to have for across all the SKUs.
Cool.
Yes.
Excellent.
Very cool.
So that, I mean, that's a great overview of all the stuff that we have here. We're also going to include a link off to the MVA that AJ and I did on my site's down now. What do I do next?
Yep.
Which goes through this in more detail. Actually, you know, goes through the FREB logs and shows some of the code that was injected into, you know, make incredibly long requests and stuff like that. So definitely go and check that out. So do you have anything else that you want to show?
No, that's basically it. If you want to see more details, go to the MVA. We'll post the link at the notes for this show and see like very detailed examples and demos of the support portal in action.
Great. Awesome. So. One other thing that we have is we have another website window. So, Bob, can you queue up the website window? We'll leave everyone with that. Awesome. So, on today's website window, I'm going to introduce Byron Tardif. Byron is a member of the website team. Mm-hmm. And he manages a number of different features, one of which is the one that we're going to be showing off today, which is called EasyAuth.
Marketing, we call it Windows Azure Websites Authentication Authorization, but for internally, we call it EasyAuth. So,
so Windows Azure?
No, it's Microsoft Azure Websites Authentication Authorization.
Okay.
But we'll just call it EasyAuth for brevity.
Yeah, so I mean, we could put Service Pack 3 update.
Yeah, exactly. Plus something, along those something lines like that. Yeah.
Okay, great. So, do you want to give us a brief introduction as to what it is? I mean, it should be fairly self-explanatory, but
sure. So, EasyAuth, basically, what we want to do here is we want to make it very, very easy to protect a website where, you know, users coming from outside won't be able to access it, and if you're thinking about on-premise solutions when you're developing for IIS, there's a very easy way to do that today, which is you basically use either Windows Auth or Basic Auth. And that's as simple as adding a little bit of config on your web config and you're set. There's, you don't need to change your app, you don't need to do anything, and it's very turnkey. We didn't have that for Azure, we didn't have that as a turnkey solution. So we figured out a way of doing it by leveraging Azure Active Directory. Mm-hmm. And basically, this is the very first preview of this feature. It's out there, and we're looking at what other options we have and what other features we can basically build into it to add some functionality, but keeping it that very simple turnkey type of solution and approach.
Perfect. So seen here first on Channel 9, that's insane.
So basically, what I have here is I have a website that I have already set up and deployed. And it has this very imaginative name of Easy Auth Demo. And when we browse to it, you'll see it over here, is this very ugly looking site. And you can see basically that the user is unauthenticated. And what I've gone and done for this as well is we have another slot that has a different version of the site. And for this one in particular, we just changed the look and feel of the site. We made it dark blue versus black. Mm-hmm. And the scenario that I'm going to demo today is, imagine you have either a revamped version of your website, or you have a new product that you're going to reveal, but you have it sitting there in your staging slot, and you don't want somebody to come and stumble onto that site. So the suggestion here is, well, enable Easy Auth on that particular slot and keep your production slot open, which is what you want to do, right? Yep. At that point, the staging slot will be secure. Only the people that you basically are granting access on that particular Azure Active Directory will have access to the site, and anybody else will be asked to log in.
Great.
So it's protected, and it's all Azure Directory, and we're not doing anything fancy with that. It's just whatever Azure Active Directory gives you. So the way that we enable this is we would go into the slot, and we go into configure, and then scroll down to the section that is aptly named authentication authorization.
Perfect.
And right here, the only option you have is configure. And what it will do is it will look at your subscription and look at the directories that you have set up. So in this case, I have three directories. I just set this one up for demo purposes. Mm-hmm. So I'll use Easy Auth. Then the next thing is, when you have selected that directory, it will list all of the applications that are already there. These are applications from the point of view of Azure Active Directory. This is not your websites or VMs or anything like that.
Okay.
And in this case, I don't have any applications there, so I'll just create a new application. The reason why we list them is that you could potentially go and configure one ahead of time.
Yep.
And then just use it. So at this point, once you click OK, what's happening behind the scenes is that we're tying that website, that particular slot, to the Azure Active Directory application that we're creating. Mm-hmm. And we're basically putting the glue together so that those two know about each other. And the next time when you try and go into the site, it will ask you to authenticate.
Cool.
So let's go and try that on the staging site. So what I'm going to do to basically force the hand here is I'm going to start an in-private browser window for it. And I'm just going to go copy the URL into that. I think it's this one.
And just to kind of explain to people out there, because you're authenticated with mm-hmm. your credentials that are tied into your Azure Active Directory.
Right.
It's just going to completely bypass you through the system. So you're going and using in private.
No, in this case, because I'm using in private, it will ask me for login. On the other one, because I'm already logged in, it would do single sign-on.
Yeah, and I'm gonna, that's what I mean. Like, yeah. Because you're already logged into the portal, you're using the same credentials that you have there.
Right.
So single sign-on would go through.
Exactly.
But in private, it doesn't have that cookie there.
Correct.
Yeah.
So for this one, I'm going to use my my corporate account. And as you can see, it's logged in.
Cool.
And then just to show that single sign-on works for this particular one that is not in private, when I hit a refresh, it's automatically logged in. So basically, what you can see here is that the user is authenticated, and there's a bunch of information about the authenticated user that then you can use in your application if you choose to do so. This works without having to modify your application. So if you have WordPress or custom deployment, either in .NET, Node, PHP, Java, doesn't really matter, it's stack agnostic. So as long as it runs on websites, this feature will work with it.
Yeah, and I mean, the main point here being that we're protecting a particular slot from other people viewing it. So
right.
You have some sort of public website update that's gone through, but this isn't going to go out and automatically pass through the credentials into, say, you know, log into your back end of your WordPress site.
Right,
that's not the functionality that's happening
here. It would make, for example, the login page for your WordPress site require you to first log into the directory before you can even reach it,
yes.
For example. But it's not going to make you use the domain users inside of WordPress.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Yeah.
And more to the fact, the production slot is still unauthenticated. We're still going to be accessible to pretty much anybody. Now, the next interesting thing to see is that we give you a little bit of extra functionality. So, for example, this logout. Mm-hmm. If I click here, it will do the logout. And the way that we make that easy for you is when you configure the application, we give you this environment variable that basically you can use within your app if you choose to do so. And it will give you a redirect to a very specific URL within your site that will go and force the logout operation. So you need to handle logout logic. You just basically give a button that will navigate to that URL, and it handles logout for you.
Cool.
Once you already have this set up, you can use any of the dip links here, and it will take you to the Active Directory application that we have already configured, mm-hmm. in case you want to do anything else there. But it's all within the Active Directory management experience, so there's nothing.
Yeah, there's nothing new here. It's basically moving you over to Azure Active Directory, and then you can go and add additional users or
anything that you would need to manage the Active Directory app. The next interesting scenario here is, let's say we're ready to release this new redesign of the site. So our recommended approach is you would do a swap.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because at that point, you've tested your application. You know that whatever is on the staging slot is working, and we don't want to incur that I'll redeploy it again because it's already there. So the moment I do a swap, I'm going to go. My source is staging. My destination is production. What's happening here is we're doing the swap, but the login requirement is going to stay with the slot.
Okay.
So this way, you don't propagate that requirement into your production site and block people from accessing your production site. Once the swap is completed, I should be able to go to what used to be my production site, still unauthenticated.
Mm-hmm.
And when I do a refresh, you will see the new design, but still not authenticated and not requiring me to authenticate.
Cool. It's a very subtle difference between black and
blue. Yeah, I should have gone with a brighter color, but you get the idea.
Yeah.
Now, this demo is a very, very simple demo, and I wanted to make sure that it's available for people to try out and basically look at the code.
Mm-hmm.
So we have it hosted on GitHub. You can go look at it, and there's even a setup script that you can go and run, and this will basically recreate exactly the same thing as I have here.
Cool.
So if you're familiar with CSM and CSM templates, it's basically a PowerShell script that you run. It will go and generate all of this, and it's also a good sample on how to use that stuff.
One thing we might be able to do is change this to use Deploy to Azure. So
yeah, that's the next thing that I wanted to do.
Awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
That's really exciting. Cool. Well, thank you for coming on the show and talking about Microsoft Azure Websites authentication and authorization.
There you go.
That's a tongue twister.
Yeah.
I dare all of you out there to try that as well.
And we're investigating new features and new things that we can add here. We know that this covers like a very specific set of users that don't worry much about what other stuff you can do with authentication authorization.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have ideas or comments or scenarios that you would like to use this, just shout out in the comments and we're actively looking at that.
That's great. Yeah, we'd love to hear your feedback. I'll put a link to the User Voice site that we have, but you're more than welcome to leave a comment below as well. And we'll make sure that all the feedback goes filtering back to Byron.
Cool.
So thank you very much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. This is an awesome feature. I mean, before this was a thing, I guess the only way to go and shut down a particular site slot would be actually going and updating your web config and filtering out IP addresses.
Yeah, you can do that with IP restrictions. You can also go and use some of the infrastructure that Active Directory gives you, but you will need to write a bunch of code and you would need to modify the application.
Yeah.
And we think that's the beauty of this, that pretty much regardless of what the app is, you don't even worry about the code.
Yeah.
And you don't need to maintain SSH keys or stuff like that.
Yeah, it's nice to click install. Right. Awesome. Well, thank you again. And now heading back to our feature presentation. Cool. Well, thanks, Byron, for showing off the Azure Websites authentication and authorization piece. That's, I mean, a really cool way to go and secure any site slots that you have that you don't really want people to have access to.
Yep.
So that would be really, really useful to everyone out there. So great things on securing sites, great things on diagnosing sites, just lots of great features all around. So hopefully everyone enjoyed the show. Thanks, Yohai, for joining me today. Really appreciate it. And thanks all you out there, and hopefully we'll see you next time here on Webcams TV.